not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be here until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here and maybe even join in the conversation if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to have you give us a call here this afternoon. The telephone lines are open. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and get you on the air here with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just pray that some of the things that we talk about today be a blessing, be an encouragement to somebody. And we just pray that, you would minister to our needs and watch over us. Lord, bless the program, use it for your glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, going to talk about a subject here today, asking the question, who was Peter? Kind of got thinking about that a little bit in light of all the events going on this past week surrounding the choosing of the new Roman Catholic Pope. And so I thought it'd be kind of interesting to do a Bible study of who exactly Peter is. We're going to look at that here in just a moment. But as we get started, because we do touch on current events and things from time to time, I was certainly shocked and saddened to hear that Ohio Senator Rob Portman has reversed his position on same-sex marriage. His son came out, as a homosexual, and so as a result, Senator Portman has changed his position on same-sex marriage. He now thinks it should be allowed, and that's concerning. I heard a rumor, and I haven't tracked this down yet, that we may be seeing something to deal with that on the ballot in the fall here in Ohio, endorsing it in some way. And you can see where we have people that once stood for the moral positions on some of these issues, the Bible positions, and now reversing. I'm reminding some years ago when then Representative Dennis Kucinich, who had been a fairly strong pro-life voice in Ohio, when he decided to throw his hat in the ring to be to run as president, one of his many runs as trying to get the nomination in the Democrat Party, he realized that he would not get any support from the Democrat Party as a pro-life candidate. So he switched his position to being pro-abortion. And we see this phenomena in a lot of our politicians, Republican and Democrat alike, where they switch positions based on convenience, which suggests that perhaps their original position wasn't much of a conviction to begin with. And I understand that people change over time and all that, but a conviction usually should be something that's pretty deeply held. And it should, if you're changing convictions, it should be something pretty strong. But that would make that. But I would suggest that perhaps Senator Portman's position against same-sex marriage might have been a little more politically oriented, and now his finger in the wind and his son coming out as a homosexual, he's decided it's safe to be able to come out as a proponent of same-sex marriage now. And, you know, you kind of wonder, what if his son had come up to him and said, Dad, I gotta confess to you, I'm actually a serial murderer, and the way I've always been, I just can't help myself. And would Senator Portman have come out and said, well, you know, I've rethought my positions against the death penalty. I've rethought my positions about whether or not murder should be a crime after all. After all, some people, they just feel compelled to do that. And as we've mentioned before on the program, I actually happened to go to school with Jeffrey Dahmer, who's a notorious serial killer, and sat next to him in homeroom all through high school. And he said when he was in prison in Milwaukee that if he was let out of prison, he would kill again. He said it was something he could not help. And he said that if he ever got out, he would definitely kill again. And so should we have just said, well, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer just was born that way. He can't help himself. Therefore, we should allow people to go out and kill. Because after all, who can say that what he's doing is wrong or bad? That's being awful judgmental. No, if we have some biblical beliefs and we have some biblical principles that should shape our worldview, should shape our sense of morality. Even if your child comes and says, yes, I'm homosexual, that still doesn't change the fact that God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve or Madam and Eve. You know, he never ordained or blessed homosexual or same-sex marriage, I should say, in the Bible. And so regardless of your feelings in the matter, there are a lot of things in the Bible that we approach that we feel we would do differently. A lot of people think, well, how can a good God send somebody to hell because they just did one or two bad things? I just feel that if my good outweighs my bad, that'll get me into heaven because God'll weigh my good against my bad. And if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, then God will say, well, I think I can let you into heaven. And the problem with that is that goes contrary to Scripture. In fact, in Proverbs 14, verse 12, the Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so no matter how good you feel about something or how strongly you feel about something, if it's contrary to the Word of God, it's wrong. And kind of segueing from talking about being let into heaven, you've probably, most of you have heard the idea that Peter mans the gates of heaven. He decides, who can be let in or not, and you'll frequently hear jokes, somebody died, and he comes to the gates of heaven, and he meets Peter there at the gates. And this idea comes partly because of a passage in Matthew chapter 16, and let me go ahead and turn over there. And I want to use that to move into a discussion on just who Peter is according to the Word of God. Look at a couple of things here, and I guess we can start here in Matthew chapter 16, as good as any place. And in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus had asked who people said that he was, and then while he was talking with them in Matthew 16, verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And the idea of giving him the keys there, and we'll come back to the rock and the founding of the church there in a minute, but the idea of giving him the keys to the kingdom of heaven is really where this idea that Peter is the one who's the gatekeeper. And interestingly enough, idea of the gatekeeper figures into the name of Peter as well. And the Hebrew, I believe, for opening has to do with the Hebrew word Peter. And I'm trying to think, I'd read that somewhere. Maybe I'll remember a little bit more about that as I'm talking here. But when we look at the idea of what Jesus is saying to Peter here, a lot of people will say, well, see, Peter was given the keys, and so he is, the first, the original pope, and he's the head of the church. And it never really says that, and we're going to take a look at that. Excuse me. We're going to take a look at that here in just a minute, but we'll come back to that on who God built the church. But the keys that he could bind on earth or bound in heaven and loosed on earth be loosed in heaven, it's talking about the gospel, and it's talking about who would be able to open the gospel and who would be able to restrict the preaching of the gospel. And really that's given to Peter initially first, because Peter did initially preach the gospel to the Jews in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. You can read the Peter's great sermon to the Jews starting verse 14, and thousands of people were saved and added to the believers that were there. And then in Acts chapter 10, we see Peter opening the gospel to the Gentiles when he went to the house of Cornelius. And if you go to Acts chapter 10 and start about verse 34, read through the end of the Bible, you can see as he preached the gospel to them, and in both cases, it was the gospel was opened up to them, and they were able to receive the gospel. And those that were loosed from their sin on earth, meaning the Jewish listeners in Acts chapter 2 and the Gentile listeners in Acts chapter 10, they were loosed in heaven. They were loosed from their sin. They believed that Jesus Christ was the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, that he died on the cross, that he shed his blood to pay for their sin. They believed Peter's report that that Jesus had been buried and rose again the third day, victorious over sin and death. And when they cried out, "What must we do to be saved?" he told them to believe, and they put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They were bound in sin. Their sins were forgiven, and they were loosed from their sin here on earth as they put their faith in Christ, and they were loosed in heaven as their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And had Peter refused to preach to these people and refused to share the gospel to them, well, they would have been still bound in their sin. And it takes the preaching of the gospel to loose people from their sin. You say, well, it says that was given to Peter to do. And if you've been listening to the program, you know that I believe the King James Version of the Bible is the Bible that we ought to be using here in the English language. And one of the reasons that I use it is that it preserves the personal pronouns in the singular and plural fashion that the modern versions do away with. And if you'll notice in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19, it says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever or whatsoever thou shalt bind in earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And remember, if it starts with a TH, it's singular. If it starts with the letter Y, like in you or ye, it is plural. And so obviously he's talking directly to Peter here upon his confession of Christ as the Savior, as the Messiah, and he's given this to Peter, and Peter's the first one given this commission, but this commission is clearly given to all the disciples, and indeed it's given to anybody that proclaims the gospel today. And you say, but it says thee, it says thou, and you said that's singular, not plural. How can that be? Well, look over in Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And did you catch that? That you and ye, that's now plural, because the commission that was given to Peter is given to all believers. All of us have the commission to go forth with the word of God and to preach the gospel. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, that's plural, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, that's plural again, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, again, you is plural, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so the great commission that Jesus has given is given to all of his followers. And if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have that commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And you have the ability to loose people from their sin by proclaiming the gospel. Now, you don't do the forgiving. God does the forgiving, but he chooses to use his followers. He chooses to use you, the born-again child of God, as the conduit through which the message comes. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as a consequence, as you proclaim the word of God to people, then they come to faith in Christ. They trust him as their Savior, and they're loosed from their sins. So that gives us some more information about Peter and his commission that was given to him in Matthew chapter 16. And he was singled out in Matthew chapter 16 because, we said, Jesus was asking his disciples in chapter 16, verse 15, he saith unto them, that's plural, but whom say ye that I am? That's plural again. And Peter is the one who answers. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus speaks specifically unto Peter and says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then this is the statement that Jesus makes that's misinterpreted by so many people, but the early church fathers understood this statement, and any Bible-believing Christian with a concordance that can see the words involved can understand the statement very easily. He says, and I say also unto thee in verse 18, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, Jesus never said that he's building the church on Peter. It would be foolish for God to build his church on a man. A man has a sin nature. Even when you're saved, you still have a sin nature. The church is not built on a man. The church is not, your church is not built on your pastor. Your denomination, if you're in a denominational group, should be an independent Baptist church, I believe. But if you're in a denominational group, if it were biblical, it would be built on Christ and not the president of the denomination. But getting back into this, he says, thou art Peter. Peter is the Greek word Petros. And Petros is a movable stone or that you could pick up. And then he says, upon this rock, and there he says Petra. The word rock is Petra. And Petra is a massive outcropping of rock. If you could think there in the Mediterranean, if you went to the Straits of Gibraltar and you stared up at the massive, you know, cliffs making up the Straits of Gibraltar, and rock of Gibraltar, that's what we're talking about when we talk Petra. You're not going to move those massive outcroppings of stone away. But along the base of that cliff, you will find little rocks down, little stones down there that you can pick up. Now, those stones you can pick up will have the same characteristics and nature of the rock which they fell from. And he's making a beautiful picture here that a lot of people miss. And he says, you're Peter. Remember, Peter's first name was Simon. That's his name that was given to him by his father. And his name was changed to Peter, the Petros, by Jesus Christ, the rock, the Petra, because when Simon was born, he was the image of his earthly father. But when he came to Christ, and when Jesus called him to be one of his disciples, and he recognized Jesus as his Savior, he now became the image of his heavenly Father. And he became the image of God in that sense, and he took on the characteristics of Christ. And as Christians, we're called to be Christ-like. We're supposed to be like the rock, not like a man. And so Peter, the small movable stone, took on the nature of the immovable rock of our salvation. And in fact, you can see that echoed in John chapter 1, verse 42, where it says, he brought unto him Jesus, and we had beheld, and Jesus beheld him. He said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. That's his earthly name. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Cephas is the Aramaic equivalent of Petros, and it's a stone, a movable stone that you could pick up and carry or throw. And as opposed to Paul writing in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, and all did drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock, that's the word Petra, that followed them, and that rock, again the word Petra, was Christ. Not Peter, not Cephas, Christ. And so that's who that is. Well, we've only got just a few minutes. We're rapidly running through our time here today. And let me just give you a couple other things about Peter that are important. Peter was a fisherman. Matthew 4:18 says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. That also tells us he has a brother named Andrew, it further tells us again his name was Simon before it was changed to Peter. But here's something else a lot of people miss about Peter. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, now Peter had a home, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. That's Peter's mother-in-law. You know, last time I looked, you don't get a mother-in-law without taking a wife. You have to be married to have a mother-in-law. I never had a mother-in-law until I got married. And because I'm married, I have a mother-in-law. And Peter had a mother-in-law. And that kind of goes hand in glove with Paul writing in 1 Timothy chapter 3, where he said in the first two verses, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, and a bishop in that case refers to a pastor, he desireth a good work. And then he starts giving some qualifications for bishops or pastors. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Now, how you can be the husband of one wife without being married is beyond me. And then we know that also Paul warned in the same book, 1 Timothy, in the next chapter, chapter 4, in the first three verses of the next chapter, Paul warned that there would be attacks upon the idea of pastors of churches being married. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, the doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to receive with thanksgiving, or to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Forbidding to marry was called by Paul the doctrine of devils. Well, let me give you another one here. Acts chapter 10, verse when we were talking about Cornelius, when Peter came into Cornelius down in verses 25 and 26, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. And so Peter said, worship me, kiss my foot, toe, or whatever. No, it says Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And we could talk more about that, but we are quickly running out of time here on our program today. And I just want to encourage you, read your Bible. And, you know, we try to help you out with some of these things on our program here on Friday afternoon as well as Sunday night. I also invite you to visit our Bible study Friday nights and the information on that's coming up. And we discuss these things. We want you to think about what you believe and why you believe it. You don't have to check your brains at the door in order to believe the Bible. It's a reasonable book made for people who can think. And check out our sponsors as well, Frank's Antiques in North Royalton, there in the center of North Royalton, 6668 Royalton Road, as well as East Coast Pizza on 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. And you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 for pickup or delivery. And mention Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. That's 216-341-9100. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, across from the high school. And it's been good to be with you today. God bless. Have a great weekend, and hope to see you next time.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
This is Mike.